much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I wouldn't dance for another. Groove is in the high.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
No Jack FM DJ has ever been caught falsely admitting to a crime as a hoax and then getting caught because someone recognized his voice and then had to do community service and had a TV movie loosely based on the incident made about him. At least we can say that.
Exactly. You know it.
Wait, what did you say?
Mitt Romney says no.
It's going to sound weird, but for a second, I think you took on the shape of a unicorn.
Oh, yeah.
And now,
I'm too sexable for my shirt, too sexable for my shirt, too sexable for my shirt.
Our feature presentation.
I'm glad to see that everybody's allowing sexable to take off.
Sexable is a great word.
As it should. Yeah.
I've started using it myself.
Morning, everybody. It's a all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, and it's the 1st of October. How about that?
Yeah. It's nuts.
Makes me sad. Makes me sad when October starts.
Why is that?
You guys too, I imagine?
Because it's a skid into Christmas?
Well, it's not even that so much. It's just that I remember the good old days, you know, back when we had Melfon to look forward to before Beer Mug broke up the band.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Remember? It was Beer Mug. Okay, he was our Yoko Ono. He's the one who came in and ruined everything that was good in the world.
I think it was Beer Mug. I can't remember exactly. Once he started drumming just as a fill-in, everything fell right
down. The band started fighting.
And there was the fighting. And
exactly.
We can't get into detail.
I did see Rocktober when I was in Arizona over the weekend, and they're rocking Rocktober.
Oh, I got to tell you.
October's huge in some city stations in some cities still. Yeah.
That's what cracks us up is that they still haven't gotten over the fact that if you add an R to October, you get the word Rocktober. And they say it as if they've just discovered the greatest thing ever.
Well, a lot of radio stations are still excited about Two for Tuesday and, getting the lead out with their Led Zeppelin hour. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that seems to have persisted over the years. But I miss Rocktober because I enjoyed mocking KLOS that does it seriously.
And you enjoyed rocking.
And rocking in Melfon, yeah.
I'm not sure that your instruments rocked, but other people.
Are you kidding me?
Did.
I was the best slide whistle guy Rocktober has ever seen.
That's possible. That's possible. In a group of one, you may have been the best.
Let's talk briefly before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show about the car chase that must have made you very happy on Friday.
Love it.
The one in Phoenix. Another guy shot himself live on national television. That happened. His name is Jodon Romero. Not Jordan, Jodon. J-O-D-O-N. And for that reason alone, I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah.
33 years old, wanted for violating his parole for a weapons conviction, had numerous other violent crimes in his background. Now, I was out there Friday, but were you guys still at work when this car chase happened? Did you get a chance to enjoy it in the beauty of the comfort of Dave's office?
I don't believe we did, no. Mm-mm.
You didn't see this one?
No.
Well, this one somehow got picked up by Fox News, and Shepard Smith was the poor sucker who was on the air who had to narrate play by play. The guy was on an hour-long pursuit west of Phoenix and then pulled off into the desert, and officers shot at him. It's still unclear whether they hit him or not, but at some point he runs off into the desert and pulls out his own gun.
Yeah.
And Shepard Smith picks up the action.
And we're just... He is looking kind of erratic, isn't he? I don't know. No. And look at this.
He may not be.
That's good
the
work.
Guy.
No, that's good work. You really get a sense of what's going on there.
He's just running. Oh, my. Well, it looks like he's a little disoriented or something. It's always possible God could be on something.
Are you on something?
Whoa. All right. So you hear the guys in the studio with him who, at this point, have seen they've got the 5-second delay on. At this point, they've seen the guy pull out the gun and shoot himself in the head and fall down in the desert.
Right.
Somehow it still airs. Even though they flipped over to the 5-second delay so that it wouldn't air, somehow that still gets on TV. And then Shep, not so pleased.
Oh, get off, 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 get off it, get off it, get off it, get off it.
Boom, they go right to a commercial. That was it.
Have they learned nothing from us?
I don't know. So then they come back, and of course he's distraught, or is he?
We took every precaution we knew how to take to keep that from being on TV.
Well, you didn't, Shepard.
No.
I'm going to be honest. You didn't at all, because you had a 5-second delay, and the people in the office saw it, and then the people on TV saw it. That's not every possible precaution.
And I personally apologize to you that that happened. Sometimes we see a lot of things that we don't let get to you because it's not time appropriate. It's insensitive. It's just wrong. And that was wrong. And that won't happen again on my watch. And I'm sorry. We'll update you on what happened with that guy and how that went down tonight on the Fox Report. I'm sorry.
He does sound pretty bummed out about it, doesn't he?
He does, but he also sounds... Is he high? I mean, I've never heard anybody with less energy and less interest.
That's Shepard Smith. You don't watch him.
That's
his style.
Really? That's how he talks all the time?
That's how he talks all the time.
Wow.
They turned off those cameras and he high-fived. Woo! Yeah. Ratings!
Got
Woo!
It! Got the shot. Good work.
We're probably the only station that got it. Well done. Anyway, you know, we see a lot of car chases. Too goddamn many for my taste.
Not enough.
That's always the possibility is that they're going to end like that. And once in a great while, they do. Yeah. And Friday was one of those times. So good work, Shepard Smith on Fox News.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No, get off it. Get off it.
Tig Notaro will be on the program today.
She's
I love
awesome.
Tig.
Yeah. Funny comedian. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Mm-hmm. We are going to take a look at the NFL weekend. Mm-hmm. With Andrew Siciliano, and talk about the Arizona Cardinals being undefeated.
Wow. What's up with that? And Dave's Falcons, too,
and
by
Dave's
the way.
Falcons, too, yeah. Or Falcons, as he would say.
Bad Ralphie, right? That's what I say.
We have the Lumineers coming into the studio to perform live.
Nice.
Oh. Live music today.
Hey!
I'm going to ask them if they need some help with the hay and the hoe. I'm better with the hoe than I am the hay, just in general. We're going to talk to one of the guys about ESPN's 30 for 30 series, which is always great, talking about athletes that have earned a lot of money and spent a lot of money. And the name of it is Broke.
Sounds fascinating.
Yep. And just about a half hour from now, from the TV show Revolution, we're going to talk to Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh, he's a badass.
He's a badass indeed. And we've got your tickets for our Breakfast with the Black Keys.
Okay.
How about that? That's all coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
One more spoon of cough syrup now. Whoa, whoa.
A little less cough syrup, I think, for you, mister.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Walk the Moon coming up next. Also, Red Hot Chili Peppers, the new one from Slightly Stupid, and some live music in the studio. That Ho Hey song from the Lumineers. And another new song from their terrific debut album. That's all going to be happening this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Katy Perry, walk the moon. Katy Perry, walk the moon. Katy Perry, walk the moon.
I don't hear walk the moon. That's all I can think of.
Yep.
Beer mug screaming at Katy Perry.
It was that times 20. That's what it was.
Happy Monday, everybody. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do every Monday morning, to see what people went to see over the weekend. Apparently, they went to see Hotel Transylvania.
Oh, kids.
And grown-ups, and apparently everyone else, because it broke a record for a September release. Number one at the box office this weekend to the tune of $43 million.
Wow.
That's an animated hit for you right there.
No kidding.
I'm telling you something. If you ever want to make money in show business, listen to me, people. I know what I'm talking about. Get your millions that you got laying around the house and make yourself a low-budget horror movie, or B, an animated film. They always seem to have a built-in audience. People will go. People love cartoons.
The
Hotel
people
Transylvania,
love it.
Apparently, by all counts, is a very entertaining film. I saw a bunch of it at Comic-Con this year, and it looked good to me. And people went in droves. $43 million made it number one. Right behind that, my favorite movie of the weekend, Looper, in its debut, made $21.2 million. Very respectable.
Now, that's the one where Bruce Willis plays Joseph Gordon-Levitt's dad, I understand.
That's right. Don't be stupid. What's wrong with you?
That's what I heard.
Who could think that after all we know about Looper?
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy talk. End of Watch was third with $8 million, then Trouble with the Curve and House at the End of the Street. Pitch Perfect, the Singing Bridesmaids movie, was sixth. Finding Nemo 3D, Resident Evil, The Master, and Won't Back Down, about teachers who weep, came in at number 10 with $2.7 million. Is Britney Spears a meth head? That would explain a lot. About her meltdown, specifically.
You'd buy it, wouldn't you?
I would.
Yeah.
TMZ is saying that her former manager and boyfriend, Sam Lufty, remember him?
Yes.
Oh, that name being bandied about during the large legend of Britney Spears. He claims drug-sniffing dogs once found a stash of crystal meth in Britney's home. He's still suing Britney for defamation, by the way. He said he brought the dogs in himself a few years ago.
Yeah.
Once they found the meth, the meth was taken away. He was doing her a favor by bringing in drug-sniffing dogs. See where she had her stash. Sam's lawsuit claims, by the way, that Britney and her parents publicly accused him of getting the singer hooked on drugs. But he is showing he was trying to get her off drugs.
Sure.
He's a saint, right. That Sam Lufty.
Right.
Still no word on when that suit will go to court, but I'm looking forward to hearing all the details. Congratulations to Anne Hathaway and her boyfriend, Adam Schulman. They got married this weekend at Big Sur, California, in front of 180 guests. You got a lot of balls asking people to go north during Carmageddon, Anne Hathaway. That's all I got to say. Also, congratulations to Glee creator Ryan Murphy. He and his boyfriend of 2 years, David Miller, were secretly married in Provincetown, Massachusetts, on the 4th of July. Now they're just telling people. They're considering starting a family as well. And they will sing and dance, and he will film it and make a series out of it. While we're talking about starting a family, the beautiful and talented Malin Ackerman.
Yes.
Is pregnant. She and her husband, Robert Zincone, of the band Pettistones? Anyone?
Don't know them.
I don't know the Pettistones either. They're expecting their first child. They got married back in June of 2011, so congratulations to them. Leanne Rimes has completed her 30 days in a treatment center for stress and anxiety. She went to stress rehab.
Yeah.
If you need a rehab for stress, I would never leave the hospital. That's the case. Her and her husband, Eddie Cibrian, and his two sons, Mason and Jake, were at the premiere of Batman Live. I didn't see them down there at Staples Center when we hung out. But while we're talking about comic books, Stan Lee, legendary creator of such Marvel comic book characters as Spider-Man, The Incredible Hulk, The Avengers, Iron Man, he is 90 years old, and he released a statement saying he was recovering from heart surgery he had last week.
Wow.
Great quote from Stan. In an effort to be more like my fellow Avenger Tony Stark, I've had an electronic pacemaker placed near my heart to ensure that I'll be able to lead for another 90 years. So, hope he's on the mend.
And I was out on Friday, so I missed your review. How was Batman Live? Was it everything you hoped it would be?
It was wildly entertaining. It's mostly for kids. It's definitely a family event. Mm-hmm. But the production values, the way they put the thing together is remarkable. It is just, it's a great theatrical event. We really had a blast down there.
You and Smith and Muse geek out, though?
Oh, we did. We were just totally geeky. Mm-hmm. And the hardest part was everyone else had brought their kids.
Yeah, sure.
And people keep asking us, where are your kids?
Yeah.
Where are your kids? They're in the bathroom. They're getting pretzels. We were just having the time of our lives. We had a blast. I don't know if you saw last night on 60 Minutes, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, that was last
night. Had an interview
night.
With Leslie Stahl talking about his book, Total Recall, My Unbelievably True Life Story. It hits stands today, by the way, if you want to pick up a copy. Here are some of the things we're finding out about Arnold. It wasn't just his housekeeper he had an affair with.
Okay.
What a surprise. He admits that while he was just dating but living with his eventual wife, Maria Shriver, he also had a hot affair, in his words, with Red Sonja co-star Brigitte Nielsen.
At least he got her before Flava Flav did.
That's true. So he was cheating on Maria while they were dating. Arnold says he still hopes to reconcile with Maria.
Yeah,
that'll do it.
Yeah.
Even though they're divorced now. He said since she left the house with the kids, it's been so empty, his life. But he's filled it up with movie making and speech giving and other projects. He said it's hard because, he said, of his life with Maria, we did everything together. Apparently not have sex with the housekeeper and Brigitte Nielsen, though, however.
Sure.
That you'd on your own, Arnold. That was your thing.
But if you want to get back together, that's the recipe. You write a book and you tell a lot of other women that you had sex with while
Here,
you were with her.
Read the book.
Yeah.
Here's the whole list for you.
And by the way, what do you guys think the draw is for him to write this book? He doesn't need the money.
He's got a giant ego.
He's a fame whore.
I think it's a look at me situation.
Hey, look at me.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you draw all eyes back to you after you've stopped being governor when you're not the biggest movie star in the world anymore? You bare your soul, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These are all stars who were born on October the 1st. Can you believe it's October already?
No, I cannot.
And they're saying it's going to be like 103 today.
Yeah.
That's not October.
At Kevin's, it's going to be 108.
It is.
October's supposed to have frost on the pumpkin. Not the pumpkin just melting into a puddle on your doorstep. Come on.
Yeah, we live in the wrong part of the country if you're looking for...
It's madness. Celebrities born on October 1st. Zach Galifianakis. Very, very funny man from Hangover and Due Date and Between Two Ferns. He's 43 years old today. Kevin Griffin, singer-guitarist for Better Than Ezra, is 44 years old. Model actress Cindy Margolis is 47 years old. Remember, one time she was the most downloaded woman in the world?
That's right.
Christopher Titus, comedian, is 48. And Isai Morales from Caprica and NYPD Blue celebrates his 50th birthday. Julie Andrews, Mary Poppins herself, is 77. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Play that thing. Tell us what revolution is all about. Monday nights on NBC.
We lived in an electric world. We relied on it for everything. And then the power went out. Everything stopped working. We weren't prepared. Fear and confusion led to panic. The lucky ones made it out of the cities. The government collapsed. Militias took over, controlling the food supply and stockpiling weapons. We still don't know why the power went out, but we're hopeful that someone will come and light the way.
But it's not going to be this guy.
I don't want to live in a world with no electricity. I don't want to live in a world with no TV, no internet. Giancarlo Esposito joins us on the phone from the TV show Revolution. He is Captain Neville. Hey, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Well, we are delighted to have you on. First of all, what a wonderful turn in your career to almost have back-to-back Breaking Bad for a couple seasons and now Revolution, which looks like the type of show that's going to stick around, too. I mean, as an actor, you just have to be hitting yourself in the head right now with happiness.
You know, absolutely. I had a great year to be able to perform on Breaking Bad, which is one of the best shows on television. Do a couple of guest spots on Community, get that comedy audience behind me. And then another great show, Once Upon a Time, I appeared on this year. It's been a bang-up year, and now to follow it up with Revolution is pretty fantastic.
Can I ask a question? Do you hit yourself in the head with happiness?
Is that an expression I made up, Kevin?
All the time.
All right, let's talk about Captain Tom Neville. Look, I understand he's a good he didn't start out as a soldier. He had a regular civilian job until the power went out, but now he is basically a bigwig in the militia, and he's out there cracking heads, trying to get everybody to toe the line. Why is he so committed to this militia that has taken over rather than to the old guard, the old United States of America people?
Well, because, you know, there's an elite that lives in Philadelphia, I think behind all of this, you're eventually going to see a home base. And you're going to see that this show really is about a caste system and the political folks who are in the know and who have preserved a certain way of living. In most of the United States, you're living in savagery. People are out there doing family farming, but their marauders and their militias are here to keep the peace between people and also figure out, what happened to the power. They're really, so part of this guy is a good guy. He is trying to create a new world where most people aren't interested in that because they've given up. So that's what's really going on.
You know what's great about the way you play him, too, is that you do some terrible things and you say some terrible things. You always say them with a nice little smile. You're always like, the way you play him is just like, you're not upset, you're not yelling. You could be saying the worst thing, but you say it with a nice little smile on your face and it just makes it a little more scary.
Well, my mother used to always tell me you get more with sugar than you do with salt. So I go the sweet route. Captain Neville has a very, very distinct personality. He's a guy who more than likely likes to have fun. He is a little bit upset with being in the field for 2 years and being away from his wife. And he's a former insurance adjuster, so he can always tell when someone's lying. So he'll smile at you and, for lack of a better way to put it, cut your throat at the same time.
Sure.
Now, most of the people on the show, and again, we're talking to Giancarlo Esposito right here on the Kevin Amin Show about Revolution, which airs again tonight on NBC at 10 o'clock. Most of the people on the show, they know the power's out, but they don't really know why. They don't really know what the science is behind it. But something has happened that hasn't just turned off the power. I mean, it's made it impossible for them to rebuild the power. In 15 years, they certainly could have started building batteries and cars and everything else again, but something's preventing all of the electricity from working, right?
Absolutely. There's some kind of technology that has sort of sucked the electricity out of the world, but it is still existing, and that's the scientific sort of conundrum and mystery of the show. There is some nanotechnology that exists that people have, as you see in Revolution, and are carrying around in a pendant around their neck.
Right.
I think there might be, 7 or 10 of them, but there are a number of those out there which hold the key to the possibility of getting the power back on, but these little pendants are charged somehow. The show has been, vetted with physicists. I mean, our wonderful writer Eric Kripke and, of course, J.J. Abrams sort of checked out the science technology of it. So it's a mystery I can't solve. I don't know the answer yet, but I'm still trying to suss it out and understand it myself, but there is an existing answer, and there is a way to get this power back on.
But it's not. We're not going to have to wait like 8 years like we did with Lost, are we?
Well, if you have to wait 8 years, it better be an entertaining 8 years.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, let me ask you this then. Why doesn't anybody have a bicycle? It seems like that would be a lot faster than walking for miles and miles and miles every episode.
Oh, man, I think it's a great point. I'm going to take that suggestion. I've got a horse, so I'm not really worried.
Yeah, that's right. You're fine.
They can walk. But you know what? I'm a very industrious kind of guy. Maybe I should start a bicycle business.
There you go. Open a bike shop. You'll be successful.
How do you like shop? I'll make it.
That's a great idea. How do you like, as an actor, playing a guy like this who's a badass who just thinks nothing of pulling out a gun and shooting a guy? Is that just so much fun for you? Do you feel like a little kid on the set when you get to do a scene like that?
Absolutely. You know, I grew up on the movies, and I love watching film and television. I always loved the Western, Wild Wild West, and it was a great show. And you had gentlemen who, in a second, would turn on a dime and shoot you. It is so much fun. It really is. They put a large charge in the gun, and it's a big boom. I carry a Desert Eagle. That is the largest handgun ever made.
Yeah.
And I can play that wryly and have a smile and shoot a couple of people and say, okay, stop fighting, kids. Let's go. We gotta get this.
Come on, everybody. Can't we all just get along?
It's a load of fun.
I have one more question, and that is, who the hell's Randall? Who's Randall?
Don't you want to know who Randall
is?
Yes.
Why? We're scared of Randall, and I don't know why. Randall showed up at the end of the last episode. I was like, oh, Randall! And then I went, who's Randall? I don't know who Randall is.
Randall's coming! Yeah, Randall is the big bad wolf, and you're going to find out who that is very soon. It's very, very exciting that you'll tune in and check that out.
Are we going to find that out tonight at 10?
Yeah, I think you are going to have another clue to Randall. It'll take another episode or so to get wrapped around who he really is.
All right,
but when you do find out, you'll get the whole political ramification of the show.
Fantastic.
Revolution is the show, NBC Monday nights at 10. Giancarlo Esposito, great to talk to you. Congratulations on the success of the show so far. Let's do it again.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
It is a Documentary Monday here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're very excited to say that 30 for 30, the award-winning series on ESPN, is returning tomorrow night. We will talk to the director of the first episode for the season, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the world-famous K-Rock. Speaking of slightly stupid.
How dare you?
What happened now? What's this I'm hearing about you? Did you cause some sort of a scene in the McDonald's? What happened?
Well, Saturday morning, I was going to McDonald's, and I wanted to get a McSkillet. So I pulled up. There was no one there. So I pulled up, and I said, I'd like a McSkillet. And the guy said, I'm sorry? And I said, I'd like a McSkillet, please. And he said, I'm having trouble understanding you. And I said, I would like a McSkillet. Now what's starting to happen is I'm starting to think of all those comedy bits about how they F you in the drive-thru,
right?
And
right,
all the different bits through the years where you can't understand what they're saying. And so he says, can you speak up? And I said, I would like a McSkillet. And then he said, I'm sorry. I can't. And I said, can I pull forward and just tell you? Can you speak up, please, sir?
Oh, that certainly is a comedy routine.
Right. So now I'm looking around for cameras or whatever. So I yelled, I want a McSkillet! Thinking, like, even from where I am in the drive-thru, without a speaker, the guy could hear me in the...
Yeah, because you're already 10 feet away.
Right. So then I pulled up and I paid... I was annoyed, but I paid, and I didn't say anything, and I took the bag, and I drove off and ate my Egg McMuffin.
Yay!
That's what happened.
Look, you know that we've talked about this many times before. Your voice doesn't cut through. It doesn't cut through on the radio. You can't ever use any of those computer voice-activated things like Siri and the iPhone.
I don't know why that is, but it doesn't.
People cannot hear you, but the way it's supposed to work in the drive-thru is you're not supposed to be able to understand them because
right,
they're coming through the crappy speaker. They're supposed to be able to hear you fine.
I'm telling you, they couldn't hear a word I was saying. It was the most frustrating thing in the world.
The reason I knew that there was some sort of an incident that I wanted some clarification on is because McDonald's contacted us here at K-Rock, and they said they had a problem with you, and the way you're describing it is not at all what happened, by the way.
Oh,
they recorded it, Kevin, when you went through that McDonald's. You're right. You looked around for cameras. There weren't any, but they did record it.
Were they effing with me?
No, they weren't at all. Listen, you'll find out what really happened. Here's the recording.
Yes, I'd like to eat food, please. Can I have the McSkillet?
Are you guys hearing this?
This guy's like special needs. Let's have some fun. I'm sorry, sir. I can't understand you. Could you speak up?
I'm Mr. Hungry. I'm in the skillet.
I'm sorry, sir. It's still not coming through. What can I get for you?
God damn it. I'm in the skillet.
This guy thinks I can't hear him. I'm sorry, sir. Could you speak up again, please?
I'm hungry. Can I ask, please, skill naked?
I'm sorry, sir. One more time.
Skill naked.
I'm sorry, sir. You're gonna have to pull around. I can't understand you. Hey, where's that egg McMuffin that we dropped on the floor? Somebody put that in a bag. I'm gonna give it to this moron.
How dare you all?
Comedian Tig Notaro joins us on the program later on today, and live music from the Lumineers all coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, tomorrow night on ESPN, Kevin, I know you're as excited as I am, the return of the 30 for 30 documentary series. What is better than these movies?
These are great.
These TV shows. These are phenomenal.
Every one of them I've seen has been great.
Every single, you tune in, you go, well, I'm not interested in that college basketball game. I've never heard about it. And then 10 minutes later, you realize it's the greatest thing that you've ever seen in your life. Well, we couldn't be more excited about the lineup we've seen for the new season. And Billy Corbin is the director of episode one that airs tomorrow night. It is called Broke. And Mr. Corbin joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, sir. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
It's our pleasure. Is this the first of the 30 for 30s that you have done, Billy?
This is the second 30 for 30 that I've done. I did the U. About the University of
Miami. Yeah. And that was huge, that one. I remember how popular that one was. Wow. Tell us about Broke.
Well, Broke is actually, you were close, because it is the first of 30 for 30 Volume 2, is what they're calling it.
Okay.
There's going to be a new 30 for 30 every Tuesday in October. It's kind of the first round, and then there'll be more next year until they reach the number 30 again. This one, I think, is a little bit different from the other ones that you were making comments like, how do you make a whole documentary about 1 second of basketball,
right,
which they managed to do and do rather compellingly, or about one soccer player being murdered in Colombia, and just really extraordinary movies have come out of this series. And this is a little bit of a departure, because as opposed to being about one player or one team or one game or one play, this is about an epidemic of professional athletes going broke, which is a story I think it's safe to say these days we hear about like once a week.
Yeah.
About,
yeah.
Vince Young, yeah, being, I think, the most recent.
I was going to ask, who are some of the people that you feature in this show?
We feature Bernie Kosar. We feature Andre Bad Moon Risen, Keith McCants, some of the other, Kurt Schilling, who's another recent story,
right,
a baseball player that generated nine figures over his career.
Wow.
Whose company just went bankrupt. He has not yet filed for personal bankruptcy, but that might be on the horizon for him. He talks quite frankly about the experience that he had making money and losing money. We also talk about in the movie Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson, again, guys who generated nine figures and saw it all. Not only, that's the incredible thing, is that not only are they broke, but they find themselves tens of millions of dollars in debt. And because, I mean, when you're generating that kind of revenue and everybody knows it, that's the other thing, too, of course, yeah, is that their salaries are publicized anywhere and everywhere. You get all kinds of credit extended to you as
sure
a result.
Course.
And so that's how they find themselves not only broke, but in debt.
Now, a lot of these athletes, we know that part of the problem is that they have a tremendous amount of hangers-on. The overhead is ridiculous, because every member of their extended family, every friend they ever went to school with, they feel like now they have an obligation to take care of. So that's part of the problem. Is some of it also bad financial management, bad investments, that sort of things? People just are there some bad breaks too, or is it all bad behavior and bad choices?
Well, it's all of the above. It has to be. And when we started talking to the athletes from different sports and different generations, we found not only commonalities, but we found that almost every story was the same. And so we structured the movie as a step-by-step how-to-go-broke guide. And you'll be shocked at how incredibly easy it is, because it's everything you just mentioned. I mean, starting with taxes, which most players don't even know anything about. When they get their first paycheck, that's how they learn that almost 40% is going to be missing.
All right. They go, hey, this isn't my amount. What happened?
Oh, yeah. They get pissed. they get pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, Andre Risen talks about it, going storming up to the office and going, where the hell's my other check, the rest of my money? And they go, no, sit down. Let me explain it to you. And you got other players who don't. Bart Scott talks about it, who's playing right now with a very rich deal with the Jets. He talks about the first NFL paycheck he ever got, he went to a check cashing store. Sweet. Cash because he didn't even have a bank account.
Oh,
wow. Now, you said this was an epidemic. This is not just some exceptions that you found.
Oh, yeah.
It's a majority?
The stats are kind of controversial, but they're off the charts. Sports Illustrated in 2009, which was part of the impetus for us even investigating this and making this movie for 30 for 30, was the NFL players, 78% of them within 2 years of retirement, NBA players, 60% within 5 years of retirement, are filing for bankruptcy or suffering severe financial hardship.
Wow.
And
I was just going to add, I know that the professional sports leagues are aware of this. You know, it's been pretty publicized. The NFL, that's one of the things they teach you when you were a rookie, is they have seminars on this and how to manage your money and to understand that your career is very short and you can't count on this amount of money coming in for the next 20 years or something like that. Is that making a dent in it at all? Are people wising up, or is it just this is the first time I've had money, I'm going to go out and blow it because I can? Is that still the syndrome?
Well, remember, the history of player salaries and the explosion of player salaries kind of follow the last boom and bust cycle of America. You know, it was the 1990s when player salaries exploded, and that, of course, is when we had the boom that we thought was going to be without end,
right?
You know, in the 1990s. And as a result of, I think, the Great Recession in 2008, and the movie kind of charts this chronologically, I think, I'm hoping that smart is the new stupid, you know, that instead of, you know, throwing money away and making it rain, guys are going to be a little bit smarter about it, you know, saving and investing and growing that money. We hope that the movie's the start of that kind of conversation. At the same time, these rookie symposiums that you talk about are very real in the NFL and the NBA. The NFL offers a lot of opportunities for guys to learn about financial education. But, you know, how do you tell a 21-year-old at the peak of his powers,
right,
you know, physically, economically, in terms of ego, how do you say, listen, don't spend any of this money you're making now. You're going to need it 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, these guys are retired before age 30, the vast majority of them. You're going to need that money for when you can't generate that kind of income anymore. But I will say this, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL refuse to allow their footage to be used in this movie because of controversial subject matter.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. NFL was cool about it, but not the NBA, Major League Baseball, or the NHL.
Speaking of which, I was going to ask you one last question, and that is does there seem to be a sport that's the worst?
Well, statistically, it would be the NFL, but and the NBA. The NFL, though, you have to realize, these guys, they play the most dangerous sport. They have the shortest careers. They're the most they suffer the most injuries, and on average, they're the lowest paid athletes in all of professional sports.
No kidding! Wow.
All right, let me ask my final question for director Billy Corbin. Again, we're talking about his 30 for 30 documentary that airs tomorrow night on ESPN. It is called Broke, and that is, what kinds of stories did you uncover about what these ex-athletes are doing now? I think about Pete Rose sitting in that mall in Las Vegas signing autographs to pay the bills right now. What other kinds of things, non-sports related, are they doing?
Well, they're doing all kinds of things. One of the more interesting stories we heard is from Reggie Wilkes, who played for 8 seasons in Philadelphia, and I think his last season in Atlanta. He, during the off season, because he was working at a time, he was in the game at a time where the average salary for an NFL player was about $14,500.
Wow.
And that only gets paid out every 2 weeks over, what, like 17 weeks or 18 weeks. So the rest of the year in the off season, these guys had to get jobs. And for the most part, they couldn't get very good jobs because their bosses knew they were going to take off again, you know, for training. So he actually interned in the off season with Merrill Lynch, and when he retired, he went on and is today a very successful financial advisor specializing in millionaire athletes.
Wow, no
How
kidding.
About that? How about that? Well, he was uniquely qualified for that job. That's interesting.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a great documentary. Again, it is called Broke. It debuts tomorrow night at 8 on ESPN. Mr. Corbin, thanks for the time today. We enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
Friday morning, it's another Breakfast With here on the Kevin and Bean Show, this time with the Black Keys. If you're a Black Keys fan, you want to join us, we'll give you a chance to earn those tickets. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll have you on hold for a few minutes, and right after the top of there, we'll give you a chance to play to win tickets for Breakfast With the Black Keys. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
Hey there. Speaking of the Black Keys, they were performing this weekend at New York's Central Park. It was a big event, the Global Citizen Festival, a free concert put on by Neil Young and Crazy Horse and lots of other bands. Put the spotlight on poverty all over the world. Great cause and a great event. Great lineup. Not only Neil Young and Crazy Horse, but John Legend. The Black Keys were there, as I mentioned. And Foo Fighters. A lot of nervous Foo Fighter fans this weekend when Dave Grohl was done with his set. He said, I don't know when we'll ever do this again regarding playing live with his band. Now, a lot of fans panicked and said, is this the end? Are we seeing the breakup of Foo Fighters? Or is Dave just burnt out from a very, very long tour and album promotion?
This happens almost every time with every band.
Yeah.
Almost.
He needs to take a break. And so I guess he was saying, I don't know when we're going to make the next album or do the next tour, but thanks so much for your support. So a lot of people are getting sweaty, though. Nervous.
I hear you.
Maybe we can get a statement from those guys.
I want that band to go away.
We'll be back. My favorite story, TMZ.com. You got to check it out. Justin Bieber on stage. You see this?
No. Tell me.
Greatest thing ever.
Hate You're going to love it, Kevin.
Hey.
Justin Bieber's on stage.
Yep.
Just lip-syncing his little Canadian ass off.
Yes.
Just dancing. Suddenly he's not dancing as fast as he was at one point. Doesn't look so good. Looks a little woozy. Next thing you know, we've got vomit! Just barfs all over the stage.
Awesome.
Just goes down. Bends over, turns his back to the audience, just hands on the knees, just unleashing all over the stage.
Awesome.
just doused. Just doused the stage with Canadian pre-digested dinner.
Vomit.
I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often, really, when you think how much time these bands spend on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's magical.
That's awesome.
He said he thinks it was bad milk is what he thinks it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. Bad milk. Maybe he heard his own music. Maybe the monitors were turned up. He could actually hear what he was singing. He said, how dare I? Jessica Simpson's all over the television talking about her life on Weight Watchers. Have you seen her spots, her commercials, where they pretty much just zoom in on her eyes?
On her eye, yeah.
You don't see anything else. You just see a big eye. I haven't lost as much weight as I would have liked to, but I'm still on the program.
In the other eye. You go,
look
what
how
are they, what are
thin
they gonna
my
tilt?
Eyelids are.
What are they going to tilt down?
They don't really. Friends are telling RadarOnline.com that Jessica tried to get a quick fix to dump her baby weight. She was doctor shopping with at least two different doctors to perform lap band surgery on her surreptitiously. A little secret lap band action.
So it's not part of the Weight Watchers program, Ralph?
No, I'm not familiar with that section of Weight Watchers. They tell you to get your stomach stapled.
Here's some chocolate fat, too.
The doctors apparently encouraged her to get her figure back the natural way and refused to do the surgery.
How about that?
How about that? Doctor saying no to a celebrity.
She sounds fat.
She should have gone to Conrad Murray. He would have taken care of her. He would have put her on a permanent diet. So she's still struggling with that weight loss, and we wish her the best. And everyone talking about that big celebrity feud between Jimmy Kimmel and Jon Hamm.
What?
Everyone's talking about it.
I don't know anything about
this. What's this feud?
Star Magazine reports, backstage at the Emmys, Jon approached Jimmy about doing a movie together. Jimmy replied, let me explain something to you, and I'll talk slowly so you understand. I work 60 hours a week, so I don't have time to be in your little movie. Jon apparently stepped up to Jimmy, got right in his face. The two squared off and started bursting out laughing. Apparently, it was a running gag between the two of them, and they were doing it for the benefit of everyone else who was listening and watching.
Can you imagine everybody else looking at it going, oh, my God.
Just wet themselves. Jimmy and Jon Hamm are going to get into a fist fight. Yeah, it's great stuff. And in case there was any doubt in your mind that Olympic gold medalist Ryan Lochte was a massive douchebag.
There wasn't.
Well, this will cement it for you in case there was. Over the weekend, he was partying with... Who do you think he was partying with? Who do you guess Ryan Lochte was partying with?
Lindsay Lohan?
No. Not even that good.
No.
Not even that high level of celebrity.
Fred Durst?
Nope. Even worse.
Good. Worse than Fred Durst?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Screech?
No, Lisa, but...
I'm getting there.
I like your guess.
Above Screech.
Above Screech. Below Fred Durst.
Wow.
I don't know.
Dane Cook?
The Situation.
Oh, yes.
The Situation.
There it is.
Mike Sorrentino and Ryan Lochte spotted cocktailing and having a great time at a nightclub in New York City.
I think he's the world's biggest douchebag.
Yeah, he really is. And AMC is announcing a singing competition show on their network. Finally, someone is getting around to putting together a singing competition show.
Why has it taken so long?
It seems like an obvious idea. It's going to be called Roadshow.
Roadshow.
Yes. And instead of nationwide auditions to choose the talent pool, the producers of Roadshow will be going to eight different small towns across America to look for somebody, anybody, who's got any kind of special talent.
Isn't that what all the other shows do, too?
No, because this is going to their town.
Right.
They don't have we're in Chicago, you come to us. They're going to go to Podunk, Idaho. Idaho? You know, the small state of Idaho?
Never heard of it.
Yeah. And they're going to say, what do you do? And they'll have small talent shows. And then we'll find talent in small towns.
Yeah, that's...
When they travel around
not watchable
towns. You don't know, man. It'll be like America's Got Talent, only be with people with less teeth, I'm imagining.
So. Less talent.
With less talent. And Johnny Depp is just the man. He's just the man.
He's been the man for a long time.
He has, and he continues to be so.
Give up the crown. Somebody
He's
else.
One of those guys who just strikes me as... He likes to do whatever he likes to do and doesn't really care so much about whether it's a big publicity event or whether it's a look at me thing. He just seems to do fun things.
I think he's the world's biggest douchebag.
You know how he was named recently an honorary member of the Comanche tribe because he's part Indian and he's also playing Tonto in this upcoming Lone Rangers film?
Sure.
So he decided to take upon himself to volunteer to be the guest of honor at the Comanche Nation Fair last Saturday. Takes place in the tiny town of Lawton, Oklahoma, and he showed up riding in the back of a convertible Camaro, waving to the crowd as he drove through the parade.
That's weird.
It was a total surprise for the locals, and word is his appearance was his idea. He just showed up and wanted to participate, so there he is, just Johnny Depp hanging off the back of a Camaro, waving to everybody, showing up for the Comanche Nation Fair.
Wow.
He's fun.
He seems like a tool.
Hey, come on! It's a national treasure. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress-singer Julie Andrews, of course, Maria from The Sound of Music, Mary Poppins, 77 years old today. Isai Morales from Caprica, NYPD Blue, also from Fairly Legal, also on that show, 50 years old today. Christopher Titus, comedian, is 48. Cindy Margolis is 47 years old. Kevin Griffin of Better Than Ezra turns 44 years old. And Zach Galifianakis celebrates his 43rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Carman. I walk the show.
Was Saturday Night Live a repeat this week?
Being yes.
Oh, it was.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, because I saw Foo Fighters playing with Mick Jagger. It was weird.
Yeah, that was from last season. Right. This weekend, though, by the way, is Daniel Craig hosting, James Bond himself, and Muse is the musical guest, so that's going to be worth checking out. Speaking of great music, we have been very fortunate doing the Kevin and Bean Show for all these years to have a feature called Breakfast With, and we've done them with a lot of our favorites, with Foo Fighters and with Green Day and with No Doubt and with U2. The list goes on and on and on. Our latest one is going to be this coming Friday morning in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. It's breakfast with a little band called Black Keys, and we're going to give you a chance to win those tickets right now with a game we like to call the Answer Key.
A 1, 2, 3, the Answer Key. That's the way it's going to be. The Answer Key. You'll win tickets to Breakfast with Black Keys. The Answer Key. The answer has key in it.
That's a nice clue. The answer has key in it. So we'll be asking questions. All you have to do is come up with the answer. It has key in it. And you are in the drawing or you win tickets? What do we decide on this one?
You are in the drawing.
In the drawing to join us Friday morning in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock for Breakfast with the Black Keys. And by the way, if you're not lucky enough to win tickets, you can hear it, of course, here on K-Rock. And we'll also be webcasting starting at around 7 o'clock Friday morning.
All right. Let's talk to Dennis, who is a fire inspector. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Dennis, good luck. Remember, there's key in the answer. He's an American lawyer, author, and amateur poet who wrote the lyrics to the United States national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. Who is he?
Jimmy Key.
An outstanding guess.
Jimmy Key is a good guess.
This time we were looking for Francis Scott Key, but thank you for playing anyway.
I like the confidence. He was almost like, yeah, that's easy.
I know that guy.
No problem.
I almost bought it.
Let's go to Josh, a bill collector. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Josh, remember, key is in the answer. This is a popular dessert made of lime juice, egg yolks, and sweetened condensed milk in a pie crust. What is it?
Let's see. Key lime pie?
Yes!
Nicely done.
Congratulations, you're in the drawing.
Hold on. Would have been funny if you said Jimmy. let's go to Michael, a payroll specialist. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi there.
Michael, thanks for listening. This term is used in reference to an object capable of opening any lock, regardless of make or type.
Let me think here. Master key.
Wow.
I'm sorry. That's a...
Yeah, that seems like it would work, but it's not the right... Doesn't it?
I almost feel like we should give it to him, though. I almost feel like a master key is something that you could call a skeleton key.
Skeleton key?
Yeah.
That was the answer that we were going with. I say we'll go with it.
I'm going to say we're going to throw you in there. It's not what we had, but I think it's good enough. Congratulations. You're in the drawing, my friend.
All right. Let's go to Yalitza. Hello, Yalitza. Welcome to the show.
What kind of name is that, Yalitza?
I don't know. I didn't choose it.
Is it made up, though? Is it a name that has some history or heritage? Are there other Yalitzas, or is it just a completely made-up name because your parents were effed up?
I think it's the latter, yeah.
They're in charge. Okay. Up. All right.
All right. Listen up. Here's your question. Remember, key is in the answer. This is a wedge-shaped piece at the top center of a vault or arch. It's also the nickname for the state of Pennsylvania.
Key tough one. Is in the answer.
Top of a vault or an arch. It's also the nickname for the state of Pennsylvania. The blank state.
The key state?
Well, at least he took a shot.
Keystone. Keystone is what we're looking for. Thanks for playing.
Thank you. Let's go to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Yes, hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Let me pay you a drink. Chris, only two people so far in the drawing for Breakfast with Black Keys. Let's see if you can join them. Famous, beautiful R&B singer-songwriter whose debut album Songs in A Minor was a commercial success, selling over 12 million copies worldwide. Multiple Grammy winner, too. Who is she?
Alicia Keys.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well done.
All right. I think we got time for I got time for a couple more, I think.
All right. Let's go to Kim, student at Cal State Fullerton. Hi, Kim.
Hey there.
Go Muskrats, or whatever you got down there.
Titans.
Titans, of course.
Yeah,
that's
what he meant.
Here's a series of islands off the coast of the southernmost tip of the continental U.S., known as...
Florida Keys.
Nice. Yes. Done. She's not even going to let you finish your question.
Yeah, she's in it. All right, one more.
All right, let's go to Christina, who is a waitress. Hi, Christina.
Hello.
All right, you have the best for last here. This word has two meanings. It's the delicious bird we often eat on Thanksgiving, but more importantly, it's a country filled with swarthy, hairy people.
Turkey?
Yeah, turkey it is.
Hey, you're racist. I can't believe you would say that, Christina.
All right. About five Kevin and Bean listeners in the drawing. Only one can attend with a friend this Friday. Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Breakfast with the Black Keys. Who's it going to be?
It's going to be Josh.
Josh, yay! The first guy we talked to. How about that? Josh, congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
You're going to be at our Breakfast with the Black Keys.
You're really, really awesome. Welcome.
Hope you can crank up the energy just a little bit on Friday.
The Answer Key.
Having bands stop by the studio is fun. It's great to enjoy live music in the morning. Not so great for the bands that have to perform that live music, though. That's what I've learned. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lumineers are here. Wesley, Jeremiah, Nayla. Hi, hello. You guys. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Your first time here to K-Rock that I know of. It's great to see you. I apologize that it is so early, but how are you feeling?
Pretty peppy.
I can tell. Yeah.
Pretty peppy. I've been up. Nayla, you sound awfully peppy. You sound like you're bouncing off the walls.
Yep, you know it.
Two sold out shows at the Fonda. You're selling out a lot of places on this tour. That has to be a little bit of a surprise, right?
Yeah, definitely a big surprise. We were playing to some pretty empty rooms not very long ago. So yeah.
How long ago?
Maybe 6 months or so.
Yeah.
How empty?
Last 2 years.
More band members on stage than audience.
Than audience?
That's
oh,
rough.
That sucks.
It's pretty empty.
So then one of you would take a break and go down and applaud and go back up and play?
Yeah. Builds character.
That's tough.
Tell Kevin and Bean listeners who maybe don't know much about the Lumineers besides the song they've been hearing on K-Rock a little bit about the history of the band. Is it true that, Nayla, you came in through a Craigslist ad? Because I didn't think anything good ever came out of Craigslist. I thought that was only a recipe to get robbed.
Yeah. No, it's true. They had placed a Craigslist ad that I bravely answered. And it worked out.
Did you think for a second that it would work out, or did you just go, it's worth a try?
Not
might
really.
As well just give it a shot.
Yeah, I was just kind of bored and looking for something to do, and so.
I don't know. I mean, look, I know Craigslist is the classifieds of the 21st century, but if I were you answering that ad, I would just expect to be duct taped in the back of someone's trunk.
Well, yeah. I did. We've met in the middle of the day, and I let a lot of people know where I was going.
Good.
So.
Did you bring a knife?
I might have.
If we wanted to kill her, we could have. instead, we practiced Charlie Boy, and she played the cello. And
it was a basement. It was dark.
Yeah.
who placed the Craigslist ad that found Nayla?
Jeremiah and me, Wesley.
Okay, and you guys specifically were looking for a cello player?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Specifically Nayla. She just didn't know it yet.
tell me why, when you've got two guys and you're looking for a third person for your band, you choose the cello as the one instrument that's missing.
We're very sensitive.
Very sensitive.
Yeah. I think we had just moved from New York, and we were looking for a change in our sound, and as we started making new songs for this record that turned out to be this EP we were making. We heard cello in our heads, so we started putting on a record, but it was really cheesy.
We hated the bass. We hated electric bass, and upright was too big to travel with, so cello seemed like a good fit.
Nice.
It's not something that people are looking for every day either.
Nope.
I'm sure you didn't have to go through 100 different ads on Craigslist.
No.
Celloist wanted.
Yeah.
So when you guys met and personality clicked and musically, obviously it was a good fit as well. Did it take very long from that moment before it started to really gel and you guys thought, hey, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for.
I think it took a little while. I mean, like we said, we played a lot of rooms that weren't exactly packed. But I think we also felt like even in the house shows or the small bars, we got a certain response and we're connecting with people and it made us want to keep doing it. So it kept us going. For those times that I think it's exaggerated, we weren't playing at empty rooms until
like 10
the last
people.
6 months ago, but it certainly feels like overnight sometimes.
Yeah,
well, when you're working your ass off and then everybody goes, hey, you exist.
Yeah.
It must feel like it's overnight.
So what's it like now that you have this album that has sold a lot of copies and you're getting a lot of radio play? Do you feel like you're overextended now? Like people are always asking you to do too much? Every day is too busy?
We're pretty busy, yeah.
Yeah, I think someone once told us they'd probably, if you do well, you'll have to say no more than yes. So we're learning the things that we can do without stretching ourselves too thin.
Right.
You know, we have a show tonight, and hopefully the vocal cords hold up.
Now, let's talk about that for a second. You lost your vocal cords one other time.
Yeah, we were at South by Southwest, and we played probably a dozen shows in a three-day span, and we played around 7:30 a.m. to a bunch of people in a big room.
Let me look at the clock. 7:28.
Yeah.
All right,
so,
good.
It's lining up just perfectly.
That's good.
I think I blew it out on the first song, and then.
But don't do that because then people tonight will blame us.
But I warmed up this time.
You did, okay.
So that's probably
good.
Yeah, I was very sick.
All right. Do you need any help on the hose and the haze, or do you guys have that down at this point? Because we do have extra bodies standing around if you need some assistance.
Sure,
if you guys know the song.
I'm not much of a hay guy, but I'm good with hose.
You're excellent with hose, guys. That's actually true.
I'll take all the help we can get. Yeah.
Is it true, Neela, I think it was you who said in an interview that there was some discussion about the ho-hay part of that ho-hay song, that it was like, is this too much? Is this overdoing it? Well, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, there was a debate about putting the hose and haze in the song.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that, Jerry?
Yeah, I think we were recording it in our little home studio in Denver. We had the hose and haze in it, and then we thought it might be annoying or, you know, if we wanted people to listen to the song again, you know, it might be cool the first time but not cool the second time.
Right.
And it was one of those things that really worked and always killed live. It was sort of our secret weapon. That's what we thought of it, at least. And
so you would just as the show was going along, if you finally needed that big boost, that was the one you went to?
Yeah, if you wanted people to kind of shut up, if you wanted to get in their grill, get in their space, we'd go out into the audience and kind of make people listen, kind of force them, hold them hostage a little bit. And I think sometimes you find that things that work live don't necessarily translate into a studio environment. So once we got it down though sonically, we thought it sounded great, and we didn't expect it to be a single though like it's become. I mean, that's certainly a surprise.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Internally we thought it was a great song, but I don't think any of us thought this, you know, I mean, it resonated with us, and that's all that we really cared about, selfishly.
Interesting.
But it's impressive that where it's gone.
The album is called The Lumineers. Is it just called The Lumineers?
Yeah.
Is that the name of it?
Not just, it's The Lumineers.
That would have been better, actually. Just Lumineers.
Just The Lumineers.
Anytime I see someone who doesn't bother to name their debut album, I think, I don't know. I got questions about these guys, but it's working out for you. The Lumineers is the name of the band. It's the name of the album, and it's how you follow them on Twitter. The website is thelumineers.com. Wesley, Jeremiah, and Nayla are all here this morning. You guys are going to go into the next room, and you're going to attempt to sing for us. And I'm very excited, and we thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
K-Rock's Kevin is on the other side of the glass right now with a band called The Lumineers in town for two sold-out shows at the Fonda Theater. Kevin, you helping out here? What are you doing? What's the deal?
If I'm on the other side of the glass, do I have to put them on it?
You do not have to put them on the glass, okay. No.
All right.
What's the setup like? What's it look like where you are?
There's a band here. There's a bass drum. I see a guitar, and I see a cello.
Okay. Sounds like they have everything they need to make Lumineers music.
They're
Let's
ready to
hear
go.
What that sounds like.
Live music from The Lumineers. Hey!
I've been trying to do it right.
Hey!
I've been living a lonely life.
Ho!
I've been sleeping here instead.
Hey!
I've been sleeping in my bed.
Ho!
I've been sleeping in my bed. So show me family,
oh,
all the blood that I will bleed.
Hey,
I don't know where I belong,
oh,
I don't know where I went wrong.
Hey,
but I can write a song.
Oh,
I belong with you, you belong with me, my sweetheart. I belong with you, you belong with me, my sweetheart.
Oh.
I have no idea
that
was
weird.
Damn.
We didn't blow out any voices there. You guys still feeling all right? It sounded great.
Bean wants to know if you guys are feeling all right. They can't hear you, Bean.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Good,
feeling
I was worried about them blowing out their voices at the 7:30 a.m. thing, but it sounded like they kept it under control there. That was awesome.
They're feeling good. Another song?
Sure.
Yeah. Lumineers, live music on the world famous K-Rock.
And steal and cheat, beg you from her knees, make you think she means it this time. She'll tear a hole in you, the one you can't repair. But I still love her, I don't really. When we were young, we did enough. When it got cold, we bundled up. I can't be told, I can't be done. It's better to feel pain nothing at all. The opposite of love's pay attention now. Oh, standing on your porch, screaming out. And I won't leave until you come downstairs. So keep your head up. Keep your love. Keep your head up. Love.
Go live music awesome. From the Lumineers.
How about that?
How about that?
They needed that cello. That was a good choice, actually. Wesley, Jeremiah, Nayla in studio here on the Kevin Amin Show. The Lumineers' debut album is out now, playing the Fonda. Two sold out shows tonight and tomorrow night. Thanks, you guys. So great of you to come by.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, K Rock.
Comedian Tig Notaro joins us coming up next after the top of the hour. She has had a less than hilarious year in her personal life, but she's managed to spin it into comedy gold. And she'll be joining us to tell us all about that.
What a sell.
Plus, don't forget, keep listening for your way into the Breakfast with the Black Keys. That's going to be Friday morning. We're very excited. The Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock, where you're going to be webcasting that live at around a little after 7 o'clock, I guess, Friday morning. Your chance to win coming up. Hey, Ralph Garman.
For some reason, Tig Notaro sounds like some sort of slur or insult to someone.
Sort of, yeah.
You are such a Tig Notaro.
Hey.
I'm sure she'll
no need
happy.
For that kind of language.
Sure, her name's being used that
just
way.
Say, it's a very musical, lyrical name.
It has a lot of depth to it. Should mean something more than just someone.
Okay.
All right.
We'll bring that up.
Thank you. Here's another name. Justin Bieber. Canadian superstar was on stage last night in Glendale, Arizona. He was not well. You can watch the video in several spots. I think PopSugar.com has it. I know TMZ.com has it. But he was singing Out of Town Girl. Well, by singing, I mean singing to a backup track of himself singing.
Right.
And suddenly, the live Justin stopped and the recorded Justin kept going.
Oh, no.
The live Justin was busy vomiting, it turns out.
Pretty good video of it online. Very funny.
Just turned his back to the audience, just grabbed his knees and unleashed.
Oh, my goodness. That was crazy.
Yeah. I wonder if that was is that choreographed? Is that going to be in every show? Because I'm going to be sorely disappointed if I show up to the next Bieber show and he's not throwing up on stage. That's the best thing since Kiss, since Gene Simmons let blood just come out of his mouth. That's production value right there.
I'll let you know when I see him a week from tomorrow night.
You're not going to see Justin Bieber.
He's been saying this since.
What the
you
what?
No,
been
Bean.
Looking forward to it all summer long. Are you kidding me?
That's what gets him off the island? A Justin Bieber concert?
Look, he was sick. What are you going to do?
You're sick. What are we going to do?
That's a better question.
He's a asshole.
He puked all over the stage, ran off stage, came back a little bit later saying, "Will you love me even though I'm throwing up on stage?"
Did he didn't really say
he
that.
He said those words.
No, he didn't say those words.
Will you love me even though I'm throwing up on stage, he asked the crowd.
What a douchebag.
And they went, yes, we love you, Vomity Justin.
Keep throwing up.
Your throw up's the best throw up in the world.
Wonder how much you could sell the vomit for on eBay.
To Bean.
He tweeted later on, great show.
Nope.
Getting better for tomorrow's show. And then tweeted, milk was a bad choice, LOL. Apparently, he said he had too much milk backstage, and then with all the dancing and stuff. You know how it is when you drink milk and start dancing.
What?
If that's the case, wouldn't every kindergartner in the world be vomiting all over the place? That's all they do is drink milk and dance.
Put something else in your sippy cup and move on, Justin.
Oh, God. What's a baby? I wish it had been organs he was throwing up.
His heart.
Oh, I'll tell you something. This whole Amanda Bynes scandal has really made Lindsay Lohan step up her game. She is back. She is better than ever.
She's afraid that the headlines are being taken away from her.
Yeah, well, sure, Amanda is a pretender to the crown, you know? She's trying to come in and just be the crazy starlet in town. And Lindsay's like, hey, all right, hold on a second. I've been doing this longer than you've been on the planet, all right?
I got that covered.
She tagged that guy in the knee with her car. She almost ran him over at the hotel. That was strong. Now she got into a scuffle with a congressional staff member in a Manhattan hotel room, and he choked her out.
What?
Early Sunday morning, Lindsay apparently was partying.
What?
At a club in New York City. And she decided the party wasn't over yet, so she took some people back to her hotel room.
Okay.
Airtight. And one of the gentlemen, Christian LaBella, started taking pictures and videos of her partying with his cell phone.
Right.
She wanted to get it back to delete those same said pictures and videos. A scuffle ensued. She claims he threw her down on the bed and scratched her face while they were struggling over the cell phone. She said she had to lock herself in the bathroom at one point to protect herself. Then she ran out of the suite, scurried down several flights of stairs. When she was walking back up the stairs, she encountered this Christian LaBella again. She claims he choked her out from behind and threw her to the floor. Lindsay pulled the fire alarm in the stairwell for help to get the police to arrive.
What the hell?
This story has everything.
When they arrived, they found him trapped in the stairwell because the alarm had disabled the elevators. They took him down to the precinct. She identified him as her attacker. But the assault charge was later tossed out because Lindsay refused to get medical attention and did not appear to be seriously hurt.
What do you guys think he was taking pictures of?
How dare you, sir?
I'm just asking. I don't know.
She had a cold, you mean?
The actions will not result in police charges, according to law enforcement sources.
Boy, there's a lot of...
But they have filed harassment complaints against each other.
A lot of information we don't know about this story.
This may end up in a courtroom. We'll have to wait and see. That's a great story. A congressional staffer.
And by the way, I think I saw over the weekend, and we'll ask Harvey next hour, but I think this guy is a little bit of a celebrity stalker anyway. Mm-hmm. I think there's pictures of him with the Kardashians and whatnot. Up on the
he site. Is a major showbiz douchebag hanger-oner. Yeah. Local boy here in Southern California, Valley Village. Now he's working for a representative, John Shimkus is his name, but she's the nephew of Heather McDonald, that awful comedian who's on Chelsea Handler's show all the time. And he was a former child actor, has pictures of himself with the Kardashians, hanging out with that crowd. So he was trying to get in, I guess, with Lindsay, took a bunch of pictures. Sounds like he's a scumbag who would probably sell those photos.
Sure.
She probably recognized that. A tussle ensued. But she got choked out. Pulling fire alarms. Scratching, clawing.
That's serious.
Somebody has a tire iron.
In the hallway now, in the stairwell?
Yeah. Here's where she pulls the fire alarm. Oh, he's got her. Oh, he choked her out. Oh, no.
Well, one.
Yeah,
one last.
Okay, all right. We got it. There's a lot of sound effects of people fighting. We understand. I have another story I'd like to get to before I run out of time. One more story before we say goodbye here.
Jesus. Are you guys watching Breaking Amish?
Yes.
Debuted last night on TLC?
Yes.
Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you did. You love the freak shows.
Breaking Amish is awesome.
Did you meet Rebecca?
Yep.
Toothless Rebecca?
She has no teeth.
Rebecca has no teeth. Kevin, would you like to share with the class why she has no teeth?
She has no teeth because when she was 19...
Yes, continue.
One of her... Was it parents?
Yes, continue.
Took some pliers.
No.
Oh, no, no. Her parents took her to the local Amish dentist.
Okay.
He took some pliers and pulled all of her teeth.
Yay!
But they numbed her up first.
No, Kevin. In fact, they didn't numb her up.
What?
It's done without anesthetic.
Pulled out all her teeth.
Rebecca explained,
fully awake, fully alert.
Oh my God.
That is an Amish tradition in their culture.
They don't do that to all the people in the village, do they?
I don't believe so. Just the 19-year-old girls, I guess.
Well, I can see why, but why did she go to the dentist in the first place? Did she have some sort of gum infection or something that required her teeth to be pulled?
No word on the exact reason, but it is common in the Amish culture if you do have a bad tooth or teeth, because apparently dental hygiene is at a premium amongst them, rather than have to deal with it, because Amish dentists really have no formal training because they don't go to medical schools.
Right, and they don't have drills.
They don't have drills, that's electricity. So rather than have to deal with the messy, boring complications of dental care, they just yank all your teeth out of your head, because that way, Lisa, you don't get any more cavities or don't have any more abscesses or any more problems with your teeth.
And I can just have soup for the rest
of
my life.
You can't have teeth problem without teeth. This is genius. Why didn't anyone else think of this?
How much does it cost? $3 a tooth.
Oh, my God. How do you not just bolt when you find out?
I don't know.
That's going to happen.
Rebecca is experiencing Rumspringa, where they leave the Amish community and go to the world with the gun of the hand. And they have to deal with real life. So she went to an actual dentist in New York City. And this woman was appalled by the story, as you can imagine, and gave little Rebecca a set of dentures for free. So now she has some teeth and she can chew some food.
Let me ask you guys this
Breaking
question.
Amish on TLC.
Let me ask you guys this question. And I know we would run afoul of religious freedom, but doesn't it seem like that's abuse to do that to a person?
Yes,
to pull their teeth out without any kind of anesthesia?
Yes, it
doesn't
does.
It seem it like
does.
If you did that to somebody in your garage, Ralph, they would come and arrest you and take you away?
Let me tell you a little something. I did a little research on this because I was fascinated by this concept that this apparently happens often in the Amish culture. And did a little research. There's some spooky stuff going on in the Amish
really?
Culture. Like all
worse
kinds
than
of like sexual abuse of the young people and they refuse to let them go to public schools, so people are going to prison rather than to let their kids get educated and stuff. There's some honked up stuff. It's not all witness, okay?
No.
Not all nice people in beards with buggies making butter. I'm telling you, something's going down there. It's weird.
We probably have some Kevin and Bean listeners who are ex-Amish who we could probably get on to tell us about it. Maybe
ask
it's time to
an
do
Amish.
Ask an Amish. Yeah.
Excellent idea. If you're Amish and listening to us right... Oh, never mind.
You're ex-Amish,
though. You're ex-Amish and you're listening.
I was wondering if any current Amish are listening to us.
No.
Maybe they have one of those hand-cranked radios they enjoy so much.
I don't even think that's allowed.
I don't think it is either. Today's celebrity birthdays. Some guy just sit there for 4 hours listening to our show, just turning a crank on the side.
I'm so tired. When's the show business going to end?
It churns butter and it's a radio. Now, I would make a mint if I sold those in the Amish community. Today's celebrity birthdays. Julie Andrews is 77 years old today. Icon Julie Andrews. I had a big crush on her.
Did you?
When I was a kid, when I used to watch that Sound of Music. It's like, oh, look at that. She's a nanny, and I bet she's nuts in bed, too. Singing Lonely Goat Herd. You know what I'm saying?
I think.
Well, I'm herding her goats. You know what that means?
No.
Me neither.
I don't.
She's 77 years old today. Isai Morales from NYPD Blue and Caprica. And Fairly Legal as well. He's 50 years old today. Christopher Titus, the comedian, is 48. Cindy Margolis is 47. Kevin Griffin of Better Than Ezra is 44. And Zach Galifianakis celebrates his 43rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Monday. It's been a long time since we've had our next guest in the studio, the world-famous K-Rock, but we are happy to welcome back comedian Tig Notaro, who joins us now. Hi, Tig. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That seemed like tepid applause for a woman who's been away for a couple of years on the show.
Sorry, you want to try it again? Try it again?
Comedian Tig Notaro is here.
Oh, my gosh. That's so much more.
That was way better, wasn't it?
Guys, calm down.
I won't ask how you've been because that gets us into a dark place, but how are you today?
I'm doing really well. Yeah. Really well, yeah.
Tell us the story of Liv. This is a fascinating thing that you sort of didn't know was a thing until Louis C.K. kind of made it one, right?
Yes. You mean...
It sounded like... Yeah, Liv.
My CD.
Yeah.
I did a show at Largo here in Los Angeles a couple of months ago, and I went on stage to talk about the 4 months of my life. It had been nosediving like crazy, and everything horrible that could have happened to me did. And one of the things being diagnosed with cancer and being a stand-up. I had a show booked at Largo prior to being diagnosed. And
how close to the show were you diagnosed with cancer?
Well, I had a show on a Sunday, and I had been diagnosed maybe the Wednesday before, and I called to cancel mm-hmm. the show. And then Flanagan, the owner, said, you know what? Why don't we move the show to the following Friday? And if you feel like performing, it's there for you. And if not, we'll just cancel it last minute.
Okay.
No problem. So I was thinking, there's no way I'm going to be performing.
Right.
But sure, knock yourself out. Move the show, the imaginary show that will never happen, to Friday.
Because you didn't feel all that funny that week, right?
Really at all. I mean, yeah, I had been ill for other reasons a few months before. My mother passed away unexpectedly. I went through a breakup and was diagnosed with cancer. So I was just really...
The hell beaten out of you.
Yeah, yeah. So
Before we move on to the Largo show...
Let's wait for 5 days. Maybe you'll feel funny then.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we move on to the Largo show, I can't imagine a worse... the worst diagnosis in the world is, hey, you have cancer, right? I mean, there's very little that's worse than that. How was it presented to you? Was it, hey, you're going to die? Or was it, hey, you have cancer, but they already had the silver lining ready to go that we think we can arrest this? What did you know on day one, Tig?
I did not know anything. Basically, I had gone in. It was breast cancer. I'd gone in for a lump. They checked me out and gave me a mammogram, and then that came back abnormal. And then the doctors were like, you know, this happens all the time. Just go back in to get checked out again. I'm sure it's just a mistake.
Right.
And so they said it'll take about 45 minutes, and I was at the cancer center there for almost 5 hours, and they had sent me to go for lunch. I was thinking, the hell's going on? I mean, I did not think in a million years that I had cancer.
Especially
because of everything that I'd gone through, I thought that for sure makes it impossible for me to have cancer.
Because it's right. Your turn to have some good luck.
Yeah.
For
right.
once.
Sure,
yeah.
It's your turn to win the lottery.
Right.
That's what it is.
And it turns out I won the cancer lottery.
Yeah. That's not the lottery you want to win.
Yeah. And so the doctor came in and said, how are you? And I said, I'm okay. And she said, well, we saw the lump, but we also found something on the other side. And I was like, really? I said, are you concerned? And she said, actually, I am. And I said, wait a minute. Are you telling me there's a chance that I have cancer? And she said, without a biopsy, I can't confirm it. But based on everything that we've looked at, it's very probable that you do. And wow. I was stunned. She said, do you have any questions? And I said...
Already?
Only all?
Well, but I had
but
none.
You can't think of anything.
I just walked out of there just devastated.
I think it takes probably days, weeks, months
well,
and to get
I hadn't
your head
even,
around it.
I hadn't even been told I had cancer.
Right.
I'd been told I probably did.
Wow.
And so... I went in for biopsies, and then they called and they said that I did have cancer. And so the show, that was a Wednesday-ish. Then that Sunday, the show was booked at Largo.
Mm-hmm.
They moved it to the following Friday. The day before the show, I went in to meet with a doctor who said, and at this point I'm thinking, okay, fine, I have cancer. It's probably stage zero, which there's stage zero, one, two, three, and four. I thought for
right.
sure it's stage zero.
In other words, you felt like they probably caught it early and it wasn't going to end up being a big deal.
Right. I was okay. Just like, okay, fine, cancer, no big deal. probably stage zero.
Who thinks?
I just
thinks, okay, fine, cancer, no big deal.
I just thought.
Optimist.
What's wrong with
you? I mean, I really did. I thought there's just no way. And I think part of it is like, there's no cancer on either side of my family. The breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't smoke. I eat very healthy.
See, that's where you go wrong.
barely drink. I also thought because I was basically flat-chested, there was no. I know men get breast cancer,
yes.
But I just really. It's so naive, but I really was like, there's just no way, and
yeah.
So I thought for sure it's stage zero. And, you know, it would be taken care of with a lumpectomy and,
right.
Or whatever is done. And so, yeah, the doctor I'm meeting with, he says, well, yeah, you have breast cancer on both sides. It's stage two. The left side is the left side is invasive. Your cancer is not contained. So our fear is that it has spread to the lymph nodes. And I was just sitting there.
Wow.
Staring at him, thinking, it was really
like
that
he was
moment.
Speaking another language?
Yeah,
or something?
I couldn't even hear him talk anymore. Everything was dead silent. I was in such shock.
Wow. All right, we need to take a break, but.
Oh, come on! It's getting good now.
It's going to continue to get good. We just have to take a quick break and we'll be ready.
Kevin and Bean Show here having an actual grown-up conversation with a guest. That doesn't happen very often, but comedian Tig Notaro is back in studio. It's great to see you again, Tig.
It is great
and,
to be here.
She is telling us the story, if you're just joining us, of being diagnosed with cancer in both breasts at the end of the tail end of a horrible few months where she had a breakup in her personal life and her mom died and she'd been sick and in the hospital and lost a lot of weight that you, by the way, young lady, could not afford to lose. I add. So when we left the story, you had postponed the Largo gig for a few days, figuring, well, no, we don't have to cancel it. Let's see how I feel. Although you very much anticipated you were not going to feel up to doing comedy when that date came around. What happened? What changed your mind that made you take the stage that night at the Largo?
Well, yeah, it was supposed to be on that Sunday. It got moved. And then the day before, I get the specific details of my cancer. And I get a text from Flanagan, the owner. And he said, are we going to do the show? And I just texted back, yeah. And then immediately thought,
why?
What the hell am I doing?
Why would you text back?
Yeah. I don't, you know, a part of me, and I'm not a dramatic person by any stretch of anyone's imagination.
Really, you could have fooled us.
But I had fear of what if this is... What if it has spread? And what if I am dying?
What if it's worse than you thought?
Yeah.
Right.
And I want to go on stage. What if this is my last chance to perform? You know? And I know it sounds so dramatic, but based on my 4 months that I was having, it's just,
that's a valid question at that point.
Yeah. I really felt like I was hitting wall after wall in life. And I had also the radio show, This American Life.
Mm-hmm.
I had been on back in May, and I had done this segment that Ira Glass, the host, had told me was very popular, and he wanted me to return immediately. And so when he had asked me to return, I said, yeah, sure, and I pitched him this story about me getting my wisdom teeth taken out. He was like, great, we'll do it. And so he called me back a couple of days later. He said, where are we on that story? And I said, wait a minute. You mean that quickly you want me back on? I thought you meant work on it. We'll see it in another 6 months. I didn't know you were going to be hounding me. And I said, you know, to be honest, I feel empty talking about things like that right now. My brain is so swirling around what my life. I just, that's all that's on my mind. And he said, great, let's do that. And so let's do that too. Let's do that story. And I was like, great. So I started writing, and I wrote about 10 pages of just recounting the 4 months or 3 months. And then I met with Ira in New York, and he looked over the pages and then he looked up at me and he said, this is so depressing. I said, I know. This is my life, though. I don't know what to do.
What do you want me to do about
it? Yeah. You know, and he said, we can't do this as, you know, an interview or you can't go on and read this. He said, your power is on stage live doing stand-up. And he said, I'm going to encourage you, if and when you find any of this funny, take it to stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I left his office going, you know, jerk, you know. And I mean, I love Ira, but I was just like, what do you mean you know? And yeah. Then shortly after, I was diagnosed with cancer, and then I just couldn't stop writing. I saw that window of like, I have to get on stage, and you know, what if I'm dying? What if this is my last time to perform? And you know, selfishly and secretly, I was like, I want to be on This American Life again. You know,
so depressing stuff, by the way. Yeah, that's funny he would say that.
I know, but I think because he's so familiar with my stand up, and I don't know. I just
it didn't feel like you to him.
Yeah, he just felt like I could do something with my stand up. And honestly, when I went on stage at Largo, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to record this because I'm going to use this any day. I thought, well, I'll record it and I'll be able to know myself and be able to let Ira know where this material is.
Right.
And you know, if it's something I can work with and possibly use on This American Life.
Louis C.K. was there?
Louis C.K. at my Largo show, yes. Yeah. It was Mary Lynn Rice Cub, Ed Helms, Bill Burr, and yeah, it was an unbelievable lineup. And then I had Louis C.K. was my surprise guest. So when I was going on stage that night, I thought, okay. And obviously, the whole lineup was so stellar and powerful. It was ridiculous. But I also knew if I bomb and bum out the entire
audience. Let's go. You want to go? Yeah, let's go.
I just thought, I have a secret surprise, and it's Louis C.K.
Yeah.
You know? So I knew.
You were on stage, Tig, did you feel that you were people laughing? I mean, was it a comedy show, or was it you recounting what had been going on and people were just with you in support of the tough road you'd been on?
Well, you know, before I even walked on stage, I'd say an hour and a half before, I was at my house taking a shower, and I was thinking, how in the hell am I going to get into this material? And I kept picturing myself pulling up a stool, sitting down, and being like, hey, guys, it's been a rough 4 months for me. Bear with me. This is a bit of a departure from my typical. And then I thought, that is so lame. I hate when, you know, I don't want to go out and make excuses for myself. And then my brain pops out with this idea of, oh my gosh, you should go on stage, wave to the audience and just say, hey, thanks for coming out. I have cancer. How's everybody doing? And I just started laughing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. Because I was thinking, what if somebody in the audience has cancer and I offend somebody? And then I had that realization where I was like, wait a minute. I have cancer.
I do have cancer.
I have cancer.
I'm not just making fun.
Yeah, I'm not just going out there and doing something weird. I have cancer. And so I did that. When Ed Helms introduced me, I walked out and I was so scared. But I was just like, hi, I have cancer. How are you doing? Just diagnosed cancer. And the audience was laughing. And I was like, oh man, they don't think I have cancer. And so, yeah, I just kept saying, hey, I have cancer. And I was also, I describe it as this feeling, this thought. I was thinking, it felt like we were all standing on this bridge that only I knew was about to collapse. And it did, because they started to realize
that you meant what
you said. Yeah, I started talking about my story. I just went into it. I was like, so I went to the doctor, and you know, the laughing kind of dissipated, and then I started to hear, oh no, 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 no,
from the audience.
Yeah, well, some people were still there.
I thought this was supposed to be funny.
Yeah, yeah. And that was what was amazing about the whole night was, I tell everybody, those whatever 300 people that were there, they were the exact 300 people that needed to be there, because they were so perfect and they held me. They laughed at all the right places and some of the wrong ones.
And long as they're laughing.
It was the only time in a show that I've looked in the audience and actually seen people crying. And it was, and then there were times where I wasn't being, nothing was sad or funny, and I was just telling them about the treatment that was coming up. They were just listening, and they were just unbelievably, perfectly amazing.
And Louis C.K. is the one that said we should put this out? Because he's selling it on his website, right? Or you're selling it on his website?
Tig may not even know about this. This may be bad news for her.
No. No, it, I, yeah, Louis, what happened was Louis, Bill, Ed, they all tweeted about the show, and then this blogger, Kira Hesser, I believe her name is, she wrote about the show, and I'm not on Twitter, I don't follow blogs, I went to bed that night, I had emailed Ira Glass and said, hey, I think that I might have something you could use. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, good night, and went to bed. And then I wake up the next day, and my phone would not stop buzzing. And the story had gone viral because of the tweeting and blogging. And Louis called me the next day. He was in San Francisco shooting a movie with Woody Allen. And he called and said, Tig, I just had lunch with Woody Allen. I was telling him all about you and your set. And I feel like it's so important that people hear this performance. And I was like, oh, no. Yeah, I was like, you know, because as a comedian, you work so long and hard on structuring and writing. And I said, you know, let me think about it. I really appreciate it, but let me think about it. He said, I really want to release this from my website. And he said, I feel like people need to hear it. And so I thought about it, and a couple of weeks ago, after I had talked to several friends in and out of the comedy world, not one person said, don't release that. Everybody said, you're going to help so many people.
Right.
And when I thought about the idea of donating a portion of the proceeds to charity, it removed me enough from the project where I could go, you know, whether somebody has cancer or a horrible day, or, you know, just the idea that just to help people
just
out.
Weathering just weathering the storm.
Yeah, just
it is.
Pushing through life. If this can help you, then yeah, we'll release it. So I called Louis and I said, yeah, I'll release it. And so Ira Glass is going to put a 10-minute segment on This American Life on October 5th. And then Louis is going to release the CD from his website that night.
That's this Friday, right?
Friday, October 5th.
That's
is
fantastic.
That this Friday?
That's this Friday.
It is this Friday.
Yeah.
I wish we had more time, but thank you very much for coming in and sharing the story. And I think that last couple of lines really will resonate with people. This is important to hear for lots of different reasons. I mean, it sounds like an amazing night on stage for you, too. You've been doing comedy for a long time, but it has to be one of the most memorable nights of your life, I would think.
Yeah, I've been doing stand-up for 15 years, and that was definitely – I had no idea what that night was going to turn into, but I – was definitely on stage thinking, oh, this feels like this might be a special moment in time. And
well, maybe. We love boobs like no other show, so I will say we're happy to fly the flag.
Mine are gone.
we're happy to promote breast cancer awareness and get checked out and make sure you know what you're doing with those ladies, because they're precious.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Tignataro.com, by the way, is Tig's website. If you spell it just close in Google, you'll find the website, and you should definitely check out her podcast too, Professor Blastoff, available through the website on the Earwolf Network and through iTunes as well. Tig, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Where does the time go? TMZ.com, on the phone, Dax Holt. Hey, Dax, what's going on in the newsroom, man? How are you?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine. Unfortunately, we had a riveting guest, so we cut into your time a little bit. But we'll go real quick. If you can fill us in on this Lindsay Lohan story, because it is, even for Lindsay, it's one of the craziest stories you guys have tried to cover.
She just, drama follows her everywhere. But over the weekend, on Sunday morning, apparently really early in the morning, she gets allegedly attacked by this guy that was in her hotel room. She had met him at a club at One Oak. She was there with her friends, I guess. They befriended this guy. He comes back to her hotel room and starts snapping photos. And she catches him snapping photos of her and her friends. And so she confronts him, apparently grabs the cell phone and finds about 50 photos and videos of her.
All right, let me stop you right there. Do we know what it is that she was so afraid of being photographed?
I think that you have to probably leave up to your imagination. Because, you know, she's got to be used to getting her photo taken everywhere she goes.
Yeah.
you know, she's sitting in the club, people are snapping away. So you got to expect, if you're just bringing some random Klingon home and, you know, and he's got a phone, he's probably going to take photos of you. That's how it works when you're a huge celebrity. So she goes to grab the phone. He allegedly jumps on her, attacks her, starts scratching her and choking her out. She calls the cops. Cops show up, arrest him, take him in. And they initially charge him with 2 counts of assault and 2 counts of harassment. And then just drop the charges.
Who did?
The cops did. They said there wasn't enough evidence after they had already started with charges.
But you said that she was with friends. Weren't there witnesses?
There was witnesses. One of the friends grabbed the guy off.
Hmm.
Little bizarre.
Yeah.
It is bizarre.
Obviously, there are pieces to this story missing.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to know what she was doing, why she was so afraid of those photos. Because if you're just hanging out watching TV, she's not going to care.
Right.
Right. What... what is the deal with this guy? All right, Kevin, we get it. We know what you think she was doing. I want it to be a sex tape. I don't know why you're automatically going to drugs. I want it to be some sort of lesbian sex tape. What do we know about this guy? You posted a picture of him over the weekend. He seems to be some sort of Hollywood hanger-on.
Yeah, his name is Christian LaBella, and he seems like one of those guys that just loves getting photographed with celebrities. We got him pictured with Chris and Kim Kardashian. I guess they were at a party, and he was just one of those people that will keep going up and taking pictures with celebrities. Celebrities over and over and over again, and so I don't know how he was able to talk them into hanging out the hotel room, but he did.
This look, I don't know who to like in this story. The guy sounds like a sleazy guy, and Lindsay just cannot stay away from trouble. It's almost impossible for her to go a week without doing something that involves the police.
You know what it always is, though? She's clubbing. It always comes down to after she's clubbing, you know, so I don't know. I don't know what her deal is, but how trouble follows her everywhere she goes.
Yeah, house arrest was the best thing that ever happened to her, even though she didn't know it at the time. Am I right? I mean, seriously.
Yes. But remember, she was even having parties on house arrest. You remember those shots of her, like, on her balcony having a party?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Right. TMZ.com is following all the details on the Lindsay Stone story. And, of course, you got to go there for no other reason to see Justin Bieber throwing up. That's an amazing story
best
as well.
Video of the weekend.
That is the best video. Maybe of all time.
Him coming out and just chucking over the stage.
Yeah. You don't see that on a stage during a concert very often, but good times. TMZ.com is the website. Check your local listings for all the various TMZ shows, including TMZ Live weekday afternoons at 4 on Fox. Thanks, Dax.
Thanks, guys.
From the NFL Network, our friend Andrew Siciliano recaps the weekend's action on the gridiron coming up after the top of the hour here on KROQ. First, Ralph is here with the showbiz.
Well,
beat.
Ralph. Andrew Siciliano.
Yeah?
I don't like him anymore.
Why?
Because I was watching Red Zone Channel.
Right.
And there was some team out there that turned over the ball like 4 times. He's like, oh, they look like the Eagles who turn the ball so much. F you!
Was it true?
No, because last night against the New York Giants, Eagles turned over the ball 0 times.
What about the week before?
This is not about the week before. So what about what have you done for me lately? 0 turnovers last night.
That was after Andrew Siciliano made that point.
0 turnovers. Mm-hmm. As opposed to Eli, interception in the end zone. That's good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, who's got a pair of thumbs and is going to see garbage tomorrow night at the Palladium? This guy! This guy! But I don't want to hog all the garbage fun. Oh, man, I love me some garbage. Well, you guys know.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was too tongue-tied to meet her.
Yeah.
That's how much
that
I love
weird.
Garbage.
That was really weird.
I have a huge crush on Shirley Manson, and I love the band so much. I'm going to see them tomorrow night. They're also playing at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on Thursday, December the 6th. You get to see Garbage and Imagine Dragons. How about that for a show? Tickets go on sale this Friday at 11 a.m.
Oh, yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
No. There aren't, Dave. It's all sold out. Go home. Garbage at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. Thursday, December the 6th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 11 a.m. Oh, but look what I have here. Oh, look what I have here in my hot little hands. Look what I have here.
Looks
I've
papers.
Got a pair of tickets.
Oh.
I've got a pair of tickets that you can win right now. You don't have to wait for them to go on sale. You can have the first pair of tickets for Garbage at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino, but you're going to have to work for them. You're going to have to answer me a little trivia question about Garbage. I'm not just going to give them to you.
No.
My beloved Shirley Manson. And Butch Vig, Steve Marker, Duke Erickson. I'm not just going to give them to you. No. Here's the thing. When the guys were putting Garbage together, Butch originally was doing vocals. Did you know that?
Yes.
And they said, we don't want just another dude group. Let's get a female lead. Let's get a female lead singer.
Good.
And have her carry the front man duties, and we'll back her up. Wouldn't that be a cool thing? And everybody said, yeah, but who? They said. And then Steve Marker, guitar...
Ryan Gosling.
No, Steve Marker, guitar and keyboard player, said, I just saw a video for this hot Scottish chick. She's a singer in this band. I saw this song, the video, I saw it 120 minutes on MTV. She would be perfect. And they contacted that young lady, and that young lady was... Tig Notaro.
I don't think so.
No, no, it's not Shirley Manson. No, Shirley Manson. All I need from you, trivia question-wise, is what was the band she was in and what was the song that she was singing in that video? I want the name of the video and the band that she was in when they discovered Shirley Manson on 120 Minutes on MTV. And the rest is garbage history. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First person to throw the right answer, boom, pair of tickets. Garbage at San Manuel. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. I thought for sure my beloved Looper was going to be number one at the box office this
weekend. That was so good. I saw it twice.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Great
film.
I saw
it twice.
How many times did you see it?
This weekend. Twice.
Isn't it great?
Yes.
It's a great movie.
It was great.
I feel like I'm in Looper right now.
I saw it twice.
I was surprised to see then that Hotel Transylvania was number one at the box office. Not only number one at the box office, but a record-breaking box office for the month of September. $43 million made it number one at the box office. Looper was second in its debut weekend. Not too shabby. A little over $21 million made it number two. Then End of Watch, Trouble with the Curve, House on the End of the Street were the top five. Pitch Perfect, Finding Nemo, 3D, Resident Evil, Retribution, and The Master Won't Back Down. Those are your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
I love time travel movies so much. I'm excited about this Looper, but Richard Roper made a comment over the weekend, Ralph, that
Roper
I thought
didn't
was
like Looper? No Looper?
No,
Roper?
He loved it.
No Roper
he loved
Looper?
It. He loved it. But he made a comment that really got my head spinning all weekend long thinking about. Once they invented time travel.
Yes.
Doesn't that mean we've always had time travel?
No, it doesn't mean we've always had time travel.
Well, if time travel is invented 200 years from now, it means those people can come back now if they want, or 500
right,
years
right.
before us.
From
so it seems
there.
Like time travel is always there. If it's ever invented, it means it's always existed.
Well, no, because it doesn't exist in
Think
the past.
It doesn't exist though, because people from the future can go into the past.
Right, but they're traveling from the future where it exists.
Yes.
They're visitors to the past, but the people in the past can't just go traveling to the future. They don't have that technology.
But somebody from 1,000 years ago can time travel into the future if he's come from the future. It just blows my mind.
No, but it doesn't exist. Like the people in Looper, Joseph Gordon-Levitt can't travel into the future.
Right.
That doesn't exist for him. That technology does not exist. So it doesn't always exist. It won't exist until 30 years hence.
So in other words, you can go back, but you can't bring things back with you. You can't bring people back with you from the past?
I don't know. I just know it's a good movie and you're ruining it.
It doesn't matter if you're from the future and you bring something back to the past. You're still the one traveling because that technology exists in the future.
But I guess what I'm saying is you can't bring people back with you from the past,
no.
In other words, right?
Those
people are not allowed to
go. They don't
go
back to the future, ever.
I don't know. I'm deeply troubled by the whole concept of time travel anyway. I still can't get my head around the fact that there's two characters, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis, existing at the same time in the same place. I still can't get my head around that yet.
No, Bruce Willis plays his father.
No, oh, that's right. That's what
Kevin
told
established
us. That's
that
right.
Last week.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that movie's great because it sure looks it.
Well, Richard Roper's a dick because he's wrong. Let's go to the phone, see if we have an answer for my trivia question. I believe Josh perhaps knows the answer. Josh?
Yes, sir?
I need to know the video that Steve Marker was looking at when he discovered the future lead singer for Garbage, Shirley Manson.
Suffocate Me.
Suffocate Me by?
Angel Fish.
Angel Fish was the name of the band she was the lead singer for, which is a real good band, too. You want to check out that music. Congratulations, Josh. You are the first holder of a pair of tickets for Garbage at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on December 6th.
You guys are awesome.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details. Today's celebrity birthdays. Zach Galifianakis is 43 years old today. Kevin Griffin of Better Than Ezra is 44. Cindy Margolis turns 47. Christopher Titus, stand-up comedian, is 48 years old. Isai Morales from NYPD Blue and Caprica is 50 years old. And singer-actress Julie Andrews celebrates her 77th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Week 4 of the NFL this weekend. Andrew Siciliano was working hard yesterday on the Red Zone channel on DirecTV. You'll see him this afternoon on NFL Total Access on the NFL Network at 4. And he joins us on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
What was it like having some real refereeing going on? Did it speed up the game some?
Yeah, it did. I mean, on paper it did. Last week, I think it was 318, I believe, was the average, regardless what the number was. Last week, since they started keeping track of this diligently, was the longest average game time in recorded NFL history. Again, it's only like 25 years, something like that.
Well, they had to make sure that they got the calls right, which I think was admirable.
They had to make sure that they got the calls right. There was a little bit of confusion, one would argue, every time a flag was thrown.
Sure.
Or times where flags weren't thrown and they still were trying to decide whether or not they had or should have thrown a flag. So that came down this week. Look, last week you also had three overtime games that extended a little bit, but even if you took out the overtime games, the average time last week would have been like one of the top five of all time.
Well, I saw Mike McCarthy yesterday, the coach for the Green Bay Packers, screaming at the real refs. It seems like he's going to have a heart attack before we get to the midway point in this season with the problems that he's having with the refs on the field, isn't it?
Well, look, I think Joe Buck, who's calling the game on Fox, said something like the honeymoon lasted as long as a Kardashian wedding, something like that. So, give Joe credit. He had the zinger of the day. And listen, anyone who thought that the quote-unquote real refs, these guys that are now back, who we all welcome back this week with open arms, would go that long without being screamed and yelled at and people putting their middle fingers up where you people were insane. It's going to get back to that eventually. They do a far better job than the people that were on the field the first 3 weeks, but these guys still make mistakes. And let's face it, how many times have we sat there on a Monday in the past, have sat here and talked about the officiating? They had a mistake, a glaring mistake in the Packers-Saints game. Well, the one in the fourth quarter at the end was glaring. Clearly, Darren Sproles fumbled up that kickoff. The Packers could have had the ball, sat on the ball, and won the game without giving the Saints a shot. And the Saints had a legitimate shot to win that game because the real refs missed the call on Darren Sproles' fumble. And earlier, on the very first touchdown of the day, where Drew Brees tied Johnny Unitas' record of touchdown in 47 straight games, Marcus Colston clearly had an offensive pass interference call that the officials didn't call in the end zone, just like the offensive pass interference call this past Monday night. So,
sure.
I mean, you want to talk about irony, coincidence, call whatever you may, but it was awful.
I'm just glad Green Bay won because they don't deserve to have another game clouded by the refs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, can you imagine? Look, they won and they were the better team, but can you imagine if we were sitting here today talking about, well, the refs are back, but the Packers still got the short.
Yeah, that would kind of suck. Let's talk about the game everybody cared about, which is the Arizona Cardinals and the Miami Dolphins.
Of course, you and all the fans in Arizona.
The most unlikely 4-0 team in NFL history, Andrew?
How dare you?
Well, I don't know the most unlikely. I might have to do some research there, but I can tell you this. The last time the Cardinals went 4-0, Gerald Ford was in the White House. And the Cardinals actually were in St. Louis. They were the St. Louis Cardinals.
All right. We don't have to rub it in.
Right. I mean, the only times they've ever gone 4-0 were as the St. Louis Cardinals or as, if you're that old, the Chicago Cardinals when Chicago
Does it count as a full win, though, if it's only the Dolphins?
It does count because your quarterback that was like, banished to the bench making $8 million a year somehow played, the game of his life and threw on 4th and 10 that 15-yard touchdown pass. I mean, Kevin Cobb played great. And now they have a test this week. I'm not trying to be a honk here for the Rams. The Rams fans still out here in Southern California, but they have to go on the road Thursday night, NFL Network game against a Rams team that under Jeff Fisher is a hell of a lot better now.
Yes, I noticed that myself yesterday.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the Jets? They got to do something. This is not working, right?
No, it's not working.
Well, if you're talking about the fact that they got beat 34-0, yeah, it's not working.
Well, look, Rex Ryan has this whole ground and pound thing, meaning we're going to run the ball, we're going to stop the run. We're going to run the ball, we're going to play good defense. They gave up 245 yards on the ground yesterday. They ran the ball for only 45 yards. So that's not working.
Maybe he was just confused. He got him turned around.
Maybe that's
we're not going to run any yards, and we're going to allow a lot.
What is atrocious? you knew the Tebow thing would happen eventually.
Yep.
And I don't mean, let's say they're 7-4, but Tebow makes a couple of plays, and they're only a game back of the Patriots, put him in there more. No, you knew that this would happen eventually, which is not. Now, granted, they're 2-2 or something like that, but I mean, it's not the end of the world. It's not like they're 0-4, no names, like the Saints. But you knew that it would eventually get down to, I know we're going to do it tonight. We have Donovan McNabb in studio tonight. We're going to talk about whether or not they should go to Tebow. You know that ESPN's doing it this morning. I haven't turned it on, but I could tell from Twitter that they are in full DEFCON 5.
Yes.
Tebow. Is DEFCON 5 the most serious one or DEFCON 1?
I don't know.
I think it is incorrectly used that 5 is the most, but I think you're right. The scale is actually in reverse, and I think lower the number, the higher the drop.
They are in full War Games Whopper Joshua alert here at ESPN with this whole Tebow thing. Guys, Tim Tebow may give them the spark they need, and he may put up a couple of points, and maybe it's a nice little thing for a couple of weeks, but Tim Tebow cannot play corner, which is what Darrelle Revis plays. Tim Tebow cannot rush the passer. Tim Tebow cannot – actually, he probably could tackle people.
Yeah.
But you're not going to use him to tackle people. So
they have a lot more problems than that.
Yeah, a lot more. Look, they're a lot of hype. They're a good football team. Rex Ryan deserves a lot of credit because it's all smoke and mirrors without Darrelle Revis. But they're not that good. It's hyped.
Right. Well, it couldn't have been a more exciting. I mean, so many of those games coming down to the last minute or even into overtime, so much fun. Even the Sunday night game was incredible last night with Ralph's Eagles prevailing. What do you like for Dallas versus Chicago tonight, Andrew?
That's a good question. I don't know if I could go against the Cowboys at home.
I'm not crazy about either of these teams, but somebody has to win, right?
Yeah. No, I think Matt Forte is going to play. I don't want to see Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall has been getting a pass. It's all Jay Cutler's fault, evidently. Brandon Marshall has dropped a couple of touchdowns. I don't want to see Brandon Marshall drop the touchdowns. If the Bears can bait Tony Romo into a couple of silly mistakes, which Tim Jennings has been good at doing so far in the other three games, I think the Bears can steal this on the road, but my gut tells me Cowboys.
All right.
Is that hedging enough for you?
That's the best kind of prediction to make because claim victory no matter what happens.
I really like Obama in the debate on Wednesday, but I think Romney might be able to steal it.
Right. See? There you go.
You got to have both.
DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sundays, and of course, look for NFL Total Access Monday through Thursday at 4 on the NFL Network. Our friend Andrew Siciliano, you can follow him by his name on Twitter as well. Thanks for the time, man.
You got it.
You're listening to K-Hey.
K-Hoedown.
Are you guys not down with Mumford & Sons? I like them very much.
It's great music to be a hobo to. Just to tie your pack to a stick and just get on a freight train.
Look,
out the Jew's harp and the jug and the stand-up wash tub bass and just have yourself a hootenanny.
I will tell you this. If you don't like Mumford & Sons, you are in the minority.
It's the biggest album in the world right now.
It is. It's the biggest thing on our station. It's the biggest selling album.
It's catchy. It's lovely music. It's odd. It's just odd to me. Odd.
It's maybe not what you expect when you tune into K-Rock.
Yeah.
Sold out the Hollywood.
Lisa's very much at home, though, with that music.
I am very comfortable.
She's got her...
It's the hoedown.
Wearing her Dolly Parton t-shirt. She's asking Charlie Rich what's behind those closed doors. And she's just... wants to know what's going on.
This is the new showbiz music. Is that cool?
I like it. I'm going to get a piece of straw and chew on that and put on my overalls. Junior Samples is going to join me, and we'll be picking and grinning here on the Kevin
Howdy!
That is the showbiz music. We're going to call this picking and grinning.
I like it.
All right, let's pick out some showbiz news now.
Let's ride the rails a little bit with Ralph Gurman.
We're going to be grinning after we're picking. All right. Scary
that is
stuff.
Their latest called I Will Wait, by the way, the new Mumford & Sons song. It is time for the Showbiz Beat. And, Ralph, I understand you have some late-breaking Hollywood news for us.
Breaking news. Could not be more happy, pleased, and proud of my buddy Seth MacFarlane, who just this morning was tapped as the host of this year's Oscars.
Oh, fantastic.
Seth MacFarlane, the mastermind behind Family Guy, American Dad, The Cleveland Show, Ted, movie that I starred in.
You were in.
I started.
I thought that was Mark Wahlberg starred in that, as I recall.
If there was no me, there'd be no Mark Wahlberg because I was his father. So without me, there's no Mark Wahlberg.
They could have cut you out. The movie would have been
no,
fine.
Because did you see Looper? If they cut me out, he would cease to exist because you have to have a father. Mm. That's the way the world works.
Okay.
He proved himself an excellent host on Saturday Night Live. He did a great job with the premiere this season. The Emmys, he did pretty good when he found the microphone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Had a hard time finding that, but I'm sure they'll clean that up for the Oscars. They'll clean that up. They'll point to him where the microphone is. He'll find it, and then he'll be the host.
So congratulations.
And he can sing, which they seem to like on the Oscars, too.
I'm sure he'll do some very funny comedy songs and stuff. He's got a lot of talents that can be used to their advantage.
I am excited. Personally, I'm a huge fan of Mr. McFarlane, as I think we all are. But I have to tell you, I am shocked by this announcement. I am shocked.
Why?
Because he is just, he's not your typical Oscar host, in that he's not as well known to much of America as previous hosts like Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin, David Letterman and Billy Crystal and people like that are.
But he is well known to a new generation of viewers that I think the Oscars have been courting for some time with very little effect. I think they would like to get a younger audience.
I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it. I hope it works for him. I'm sure he's going to be great. And I hope a lot of people tune in and watch. I'm just surprised by it. Look, he's no James Franco. Let's not get crazy though, right?
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, really. That was the weird choice.
I think it's an excellent choice because here's the thought process. There is a percentage of people who love movies and the Oscars who are going to watch the Oscars no matter who the host is.
Right.
Absolutely.
Because they want to see the Oscars. Then there's a percentage of people who may not watch the Oscars but are big Seth MacFarlane fans who love Ted and Family Guy and American Dad. Those people will be driven to the show for the first time. So
no.
I think it's a good idea, Peter Griffin.
No.
Oh, come on. Justin Bieber threw up on stage in Arizona.
You can watch it, apparently.
You can watch it. You can watch him bend over and retch and just empty his stomach on the stage there. Ran off stage after he threw up and then came back and asked all the fans in the audience, "Will you love me even though I'm throwing up on stage?"
Will you love me? Who says that?
Someone desperate for the love of strangers.
That's pathetic.
Bean is going to go see him. Bean's going to go see him.
We don't have time to get into that right now.
I feel like I'm getting ripped off if I don't get the vomit scene. If they cut that out of the show, I go
hope
to.
Hope you're in the front row.
I don't think that's part of the choreography.
Great show, he tweeted after the fact. Getting better for tomorrow's show. Love you. Then he tweeted again, "Milk was a bad choice, LOL." And we all laughed and said, that was dumb. And then someone turned me on to the fact that he was trying to make an Anchorman joke. Because remember, Ron Burgundy.
Oh, well crafted.
Remember, it was really hot, and he was just chugging down that milk, and his milk was a bad choice.
Oh, okay.
Remember that scene?
Yeah.
I did.
It was the Biebs being hilarious.
He probably said that and went, "Yes, people are dying right now."
He's just relentlessly douchey. He just won't give me a break. He just won't stop being
it's
a
true.
Douche. I'm exhausted by his doucheness.
I don't much about the Bieber. Never see him. I don't know what he does.
Yeah, well, you're not missing much there, Dub Senior. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend: Hotel Transylvania, $43 million at the box office.
Stunning.
Animated films always do very well, but this one was a record breaker for the month of September. Biggest grossing opening ever in September. People loving it, though. They're saying it's very funny and very charming. It's good for the kids and good for the parents. So,
you think there's some looking forward to Halloween?
I'm sure that's part of it.
Part of that?
As the horror movie and monster movie season is upon us. Looper was number two at the box office, $21.2 million. I've been talking about this film now for a week. I got a chance to see it a little bit early, and I've been recommending it to everyone. Just love this film. Kevin, you saw it, right?
Oh, twice, yeah.
Twice. Do you understand it yet?
No.
Or is there a third time in the offing for you?
I'll probably have to see it a third time. But that kid, that little kid you were talking about, wow.
Pierce Gagnon is his name.
Wow.
What a performance he gives in that film.
It's so good.
It's remarkable.
Not sure what he does, but he's good.
No, seriously, though, even for you, Looper made perfect sense,
yes,
right?
It did. Yes,
it's a time travel movie with a lot of stuff going on, but the way they lay it out, it's all right there.
I object to even for you, but...
I was hoping maybe you wouldn't catch that, but my point was made.
And by the way, who's better than Joe Golev in everything he does?
He's a spectacular actor.
Terrific actor.
And a great guy. End of Watch was third. Trouble with the Curve. House at the End of the Street. Number five. Then Pitch Perfect. Finding Nemo in 3D. Resident Evil. Retribution. Also another big 3D film. The Master and Won't Back Down. In its debut, made $2.7 million. That made it number 10 at the box office this weekend. This Lindsay Lohan. She's a pip, as my father would say.
A pip?
She's a pip.
What does that mean?
You're a pip. You are.
Never heard pip.
Never heard that?
Uh-uh.
It's an old-timey expression for, oh, you're a piece of work.
Oh, a troublemaker?
You're a hot mess. I guess it's the old-timey version of hot mess.
All right.
What a pip. She can't get out of trouble. She can't get out of her own way. She was partying in New York City. Here's the thing. The bar was closed. They just said, you know what they said? We're a bar. We sell alcohol for a living. It's what we do. And we're deciding it's time to stop drinking now. Look. We make money at it. It would be we could sell you more booze.
Right.
We'd make more money, but we just think it's for the just the benefit of everyone if we all stop drinking now. Go home.
Okay.
So Lindsay decided the party wasn't over yet and took some people back to her suite in her Manhattan hotel. There was a gentleman there named Christian LaBella who was using his cell phone to shoot pictures and videos of her partying. Lindsay took umbrage to that and decided to try to get that cell phone out of his hands and delete those pictures and videos. Well, there was a tussle. She claimed she was thrown down on the bed and scratched. Not the first time she's been thrown down on a bed and scratched, by the way, but
this time she didn't like it.
She had to lock herself in the bathroom to protect herself. She ran out of the suite. When she came back, they had an altercation again. He choked her out, knocked her to the ground, got on top of her. Lindsay claimed she had to hit the fire alarm in order to get police to respond to the hotel.
What happened to all her friends? Didn't she have friends?
What the hell?
A friend pulled this guy off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how she got free. And during the melee, apparently she contacted the fire department by pulling the fire alarm, and cops showed up. Dude was arrested. However, the charges of assault were dropped because she would not get medical treatment, and she didn't seem to be badly injured. So I thought that was an odd part of the story. I think cops can just decide not to press assault charges because you're not that roughed up. Can they?
Well, it sounds like she didn't want to.
Sounds like maybe
press
she didn't maybe. Want to.
Well, she did press harassment charges, and so did this guy. Charged them against her. The cops have said, though, you know what? Work this out yourselves. Yeah. There's not going to be any police involvement. So, still, though, you got to love her running around a hotel in the middle of the night, pulling fire alarms, battling over a cell phone.
Why wouldn't she want to go to the hospital?
They have a lot of drugs there. You'd think she'd want to go to the hospital.
Maybe she didn't need
more.
Allegedly.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Julie Andrews is 77 years old. Talk about another coke whore. Oh, Julie Andrews. Jeez, what a hot mess she is. Isai Morales from Caprica and NYPD Blue, 50 years old today. Christopher Titus, the comedian, is 48. Cindy Margolis, at one time the most downloaded woman on the internet.
She's kind of vanished now, hasn't she?
Yeah, she was a host. She used to host stuff, and her picture was everywhere, and she has been off the radar. Kevin Griffin of Better Than Ezra is 44, and Zach Galifianakis, one of the funniest men on the planet. He is 43 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, the host of Hoarders will be on the program. Corey Chalmers.
That show is
so good.
Oh, I don't know how he does it.
So good. I don't either. Comedian Bill Burr will be here. We have Ask Normal, which is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. You're wondering what's going on, what's happening with the government, what's happening. You can ask your questions tomorrow morning.
I'd like to say they're not doing a very good job, and I plan to call them on that.
Because it's not
these laws are not changing. These laws are not changing very fast, are they? They're not doing much reforming. It seems like we've got the same laws we've always had.
It's a valid question.
How many questions for Ask Normal are going to be, where can I buy some weed?
Most. We have to read those out. Yes.
Plus, we've got our tickets. We've got your tickets for our breakfast with the Black Keys.
They're our tickets, but you can have them.
Right. Yeah. We'll give them to you. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.